and on the telephone line with us is the Pirates general manager, Neil Huntington Show, comes your way every Sunday. And Neil, maybe you can assess this past week for us as we approach September the 1st on Saturday, and where you think the ball club currently stands, and whether at some point internally, do you have to, I get for lack of a better word, concede and think about 2019?
Well, unfortunately, we've lost 9 of our last 12, 6 of those one-run games. We've fallen to 12 games out in the division and 7.5 games out in a wild card. The good side of it is the majority of the players that we expect to contribute next year and for years into the future are still under contract and are guys that will continue to benefit from playing, whether we're able to close this gap somehow, some way, as we go into St. Louis, so hopefully finish out with a win today, go into St. Louis, go into Atlanta, two teams that we're chasing, and have a good run. Unfortunately, 7.5 games out of a wild card, 12 games out of a division spot, playing good baseball isn't good enough. I mean, we've painted ourselves into a corner with a tough August, especially the last 2 weeks, that we need to play exceptionally well to fight our ways back into this, as we've got to climb over multiple teams in both the division and the wild card, and so a nice 7-game stretch doesn't get it done. So again, balancing the players that are young and need innings and need at bats and need experience to benefit for next year, and continuing to respect those that have put you in a position to be competitive into August and hopefully into September. That's always an interesting balance, Josh Harrison's hamstring continues to be a challenge for him, so he's going to need some days down. So there are games there at second base for Adam Frazier, Kevin Newman. Jordy Mercer's working hard to get back from his calf injury, but that opens up some time for Echevarria or Newman at shortstop. The young starters are the ones getting the innings. The young relievers are the ones getting the innings. Josh Bell continues to play a bunch at first base. So, again, as we look at next year's club, the core of it is this year's club, with continued growth, with continued development. So it's not like we've got 11 veterans out there that we're looking to supplant for next year.
Neil, are you surprised by this roller coaster season that the Pirates have had?
The veteran teams figure out a way to win more consistently. And sometimes it's just pure talent. Sometimes it's a role. And you look at what the Oakland A's have done in their 30-game stretch, 40-game stretch, after most were anticipating they were going to be sellers at the deadline. You look at what the Cardinals have done this month of August after, and it is a game of streaks. Part of it depends upon your team's health. Part of it depends upon your schedule. Part of it depends upon how well you're playing. And we've had some stretches where we've done the three parts of the game very well, the offense, the defense, and the pitching. And then there's been other stretches where one of the three has been playing pretty well, but the other two haven't, and that's how you end up losing more games than you think you should.
What areas, Neil, do you think, first thing comes to mind over the last couple of weeks, of course, is the offense, because the pitching has been, overall, this Pirate pitching staff ranks up there maybe with, one of the top two or three in all of baseball.
When you look at the quality of the rotation and then the leverage part of the bullpen, it's been really good. Our numbers get a little bit skewed because I haven't been able to come up with the right answer in those mid to low leverage situations. And we have not held 3-1 deficits or 5-2 deficits as well as we need to be able to chip away. Offensively, we've been very hit or miss, and we've been dependent upon a few players over given stretches. The three outfielders for about a month were as productive as any outfield, really any trio probably in baseball. And then they've scuffled here a little bit. Cervelli and Diaz, as productive a catching tandem for a long period of time as anybody in baseball. And, we've hit some stretches there. The infield, it has been a challenge offensively. And so we're looking to continue to how do we impact in a short period of time the growth and development of Josh Bell and getting him back to where he was a year ago, or the growth and development of Colin Moran as he finishes up his rookie season. How do we impact them? How do we get them better? And what do we do at short and second to improve offensively and defensively if it's feasible, if it's possible? And again, understanding where those guys are in their careers, what are our internal options, what are external options, and how do we maximize this club offensively? What what are we missing in terms of approach, in terms of abilities, in terms of skills, and how do we improve what we have here, or where do we look externally to get better?
Will this year allow you, Neil, to know what you have in those two players that you mentioned on the corners, in Colin Moran and Josh Bell? Will you know by the end of this season what you have in those two players so that you're able to look forward to 2019 and beyond?
You know, Brian, it's a great question, but it's also one of the things that makes our game so great is we go look at some of the best offensive players in our game this year, in our game the last three or four years. And if you start looking at Jose Ramirez and Mookie Betts and Matt Chapman and J.D. Martinez and some of these guys and where they came from, Lorenzo Cain is a great example. I don't know that at 23, 24, or 25, all of them had established what they were going to be. And that's the beautiful part of our game is players tend to hit their prime in their late 20s. Pitchers, especially relievers, are a little bit later. There is some settling that happens after a pretty significant sample size of plate appearances. But every year there are players.
Well, I think we've...
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Neil.
Technical difficulty there for a minute. But every year there are players that take that next step in their career and they find their power, they find the consistency. They're able to keep the stretches of good play longer and the stretches of short play, bad play, shorter. And we're going to continue to work with those guys on a daily basis. But that is the beautiful part of our game is, yes, the elite are elite year after year after year until they begin to regress. But there's some good players that among the best in our game that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, their rookie season, their second season, people had started to write them off because they hadn't performed at to expectations, or they'd label them as role players, or they'd label them as, you know, soft, regular players versus what these guys have become today.
What have you seen of a young player like Kevin Newman in the short sample size in terms of his offense and his defense?
Pretty much the same guy we saw in AAA, a very solid defender. He's had a few throws that have sunk on him or run on him. But as he's gaining confidence and he's letting the ball go, the diving play to his left, he's going to battle in the box. He's going to find outfield grass. He's going to hit some balls into the gaps and occasionally hit a few mistakes into the seats. And he's shown that's what he was in AAA. It's what we projected him to be up here. And now just how effective can he be offensively, defensively, and on the bases?
You mentioned also Adam Frazier. There are those who believe that if you look what he's done, Neil, coming up from AAA this most recent time. First, I guess I should ask you, what did he do to kind of rediscover that bat? And David Fries, and it wasn't hyperbole from the veteran last year when he said he believes if this guy plays every day, someday he will win a batting title. Well, since his most recent recall, July the 25th, he's hitting .346. So there are those who believe this guy has to play every day somewhere. Is that possible between now and the end of the year?
Well, it's a bit of a challenge with the three outfielders. With Josh, if Josh were healthy, it'd be more of a challenge. But with Josh's hamstring, he's going to need some days here and there. As we talked all season long, Corey Dickerson's at a number of games defensively in the outfield that he hasn't been at that level in a long period of time, and there'll be some opportunities to rest Marte and Polanco. So between the positions, Adam should get a good chunk of at-bats here as we fight through the last part of August and into September. Brownie, again, sometimes guys get a breath of fresh air. Sometimes they get a breather. Sometimes they get a kick in the rear end. In Adam's case, truth be told, he hadn't really done much in AAA to earn his way back to the big leagues. It was more of necessity. He made a really good adjustment based on an observation that he saw from a picture from his dad, according to Adam and things I've read and heard. And he got back to what made him so simple and so productive, both when he was in the lineup and off the bench. And I give him all the credit in the world because the challenge is, again, this is where it's hard. We've got four or five of the best offensive performers in AAA this year in Luke Lowe, Osuna, Kramer. I think Newman's up there. Pablo Reyes is up there. And that hasn't always translated when they come to the big leagues. And we go back to Jung Ho Kang a couple of years ago when he had a really tough rehabilitation assignment in AAA, didn't swing the bat with much authority, didn't have much success. Adam didn't swing the bat with much authority, didn't have much success during the time he was optioned.
and yet they get back to the big leagues and they lock in. So I wish there was a linear progression. I wish there was a way to say if a player does X in AAA, he's going to do Y in the major leagues, and there isn't. And that's the beautiful part of the human analytic and why this game becomes interesting, challenging, and difficult at times.
Neil, some may laugh at this question, but I'm serious about it because I know, having watched Adam Frazier, his defensive issues, difficulties, it seems as though when he consistently gets some at-bats and consistent playing time at one position, it looks as though he becomes kind of more comfortable. And I guess I'm thinking about in particular second base. But I know that in 2013, and defensive awards can maybe you can question those as well. But in 2013, while playing in college at Mississippi State, he was a member of the SEC all-defensive team as a shortstop. Is that even a realistic possibility that he could play shortstop at the major league level?
Well, we don't ever want to say never, because there are players that don't look the part, or they don't have the actions of an elite or an above average or even an average defensive player up the middle that end up working their way into being average there. Our experience so far in professional baseball is that he's better suited to play second or better suited even to play the outfield versus shortstop. But again, we don't want to say that it's never going to happen, but from our experience and from our exposure and from our analytics, it's a tougher position to see him being able to play effectively. I don't know if the offensive numbers impact the defensive awards at the amateur level as they do at the major league level for so long, and go back to Rafael Palmeiro and what he played 39 games at first base and won a gold glove while he was mashing. So sometimes the offensive numbers impact the defensive awards.
And we'll continue with the Pirates general manager, the Neil Huntington Show, as the Pirates and Brewers meet here in Milwaukee. More to come on the Pirates Baseball Network. We are back here at Miller Park in Milwaukee, Pirates and Brewers. Today, Chris Archer on the mound against Chase Anderson. And we're on the telephone line with Pirates general manager Neil Huntington. Pirates will travel to St. Louis and then to Atlanta before returning for one of just two homestands remaining on the 2018 schedule. Neil, you mentioned Jordy Mercer and Josh Harrison. Any idea as to when these guys might be ready and might you best be suited to just wait until Saturday when rosters can expand?
Yeah, Josh's continued tightness with the hamstring, it has made it a bit more challenging with Jordy as to have two infielders with leg issues active at the same time on a 25-man roster can be a bit of a challenge. Josh is realistically going to need an extended period of downtime before his leg is 100%. We're seeing him moving around. It's not the Josh Harrison we're used to, but he still can be effective and impactful. In Jordy's case, he's coming back from the leg, and he's starting to do more baseball activity, starting to simulate running the bases and starting and stopping to see how the calf responds. And we may be looking more towards September 1st, but at the same time, we certainly don't want to hold Jordy Mercer back if he's ready to go, and if Josh is in a good spot here as we get deeper into this week. So really both continue to be day-to-day assessments, how they're progressing. Jordy building back to health and to readiness to be activated. In Josh's case, can he play today, and are we doing him the right thing to keep him active, and what would be the benefits of keeping him active versus the benefits of even a 10-day rest period. So we'll continue to analyze those guys, evaluate those guys, stay in contact and communicate with those guys on a daily basis. If you ask them, there's no doubt in their mind Jordy would like to be active as soon as possible, and Josh does not want to go on the disabled list. And so we're working through that pathway of what's best for them, but what's also best for us as an organization.
Might you make a move between now and game time, Neil?
Probably not today. We've obviously taxed our bullpen, and Clint held Nick Kingham out of that game last night because he wanted to have some length behind Chris today in case we needed it. You never want to plan for a starter to have to leave a game early because of a line drive or something worse, but you always want to make sure you have the protection. And with the amount that we've stretched this bullpen, the 15 innings in particular, we wanted to have length behind Chris available today. So that's why Kella pitched the ninth inning last night. Now becomes a challenge to pitch him today because he pitched last night. So there's a handful of guys that we'd like to stay away from today if we could. But if the game dictates that they need to be used, these guys are competitors and they're going to want to be out there.
What do you think about Kyle Crick then? That becomes critical if Kelly can't go today.
Yeah, that's been the hard part is Kyle obviously took that vicious line drive off his back this last week, pitched on Wednesday, didn't feel great, was unavailable yesterday, was unavailable on Friday. I know they're working through exactly where he believes he's going to be able to go today. If he's not available, that could result in a roster move. If he is available, then he's active and ready to go today, and hopefully we'll pitch a very meaningful inning, protecting a lead late.
And we'll pause right now, allow our stations to identify themselves. We come toward the bottom of the hour, and we mentioned just a few moments ago there are only two homestands remaining. Starting Monday night, 1 week from tomorrow, the Pirates will make that Labor Day Monday afternoon, a special 1:35 start against the Reds 1 week from tomorrow. First of three against Cincinnati. Then the Marlins come in for three. And the final homestand features the Royals interleague play against Kansas City and three against the Milwaukee Brewers to finish out the 2018 home schedule. Go to Pirates.com for tickets. We pause now on the Pirates Baseball Network.
Your flagship home for Pirates baseball. KDKA FM HD1 Pittsburgh.
Neil, as you look at the innings for these starters, it's something that you and I guess every general manager in baseball really attuned to more than ever over the last handful of years to make sure you don't overtax them from year to year. It looks like everybody except perhaps Jameson Taillon seems to be in line with the innings pitched count not being too much of a concern. Maybe I should ask you, is Taillon's innings pitched this year going to be something you watch? He's at 152 this year, 134 last year.
Yeah, there really is not a magic scientific formula. There's not a magic formula. There's not a scientific formula for how to build guys up. Innings are not necessarily the best proxy because there's inefficient and efficient innings. There's inefficient and inefficient months. There's higher stress innings, whether it's because of pitch count or because of base runners. So we track things on a much deeper level than just, okay, he threw 100 innings this year. The accepted rule is 10% or 20%, so we can go to 120. We're much more scientific than that. But again, there is no exact formula to this. You see guys spike in innings rates significantly all the time with no effect, or you see guys that spike in innings rates all the time and there is an effect. So we want to be cognizant of where these guys are, how they've gotten there, and where we'd like to take them and where we feel good about taking them. But as importantly, we need to see how they're recovering. We need to see how they are sustaining their strength and their mental strength, their physical strength, the quality of their pitches as they get to these pitch counts, as they get to these innings counts, and the effective pitch count is a term we use. So there is a lot that goes into it. It's much more art than science. We'll be aware of all of our starters, and there may be actually a guy that technically has innings available, but he's showing signs of fatigue that we may look to move him back a start here and there or skip a start here and there. Or it may be one of the younger pitchers that is getting to a threshold that they haven't been at before. So we want to be very aware. We work to be very aware on how to build up each of these guys correctly. But most important thing they can show us is how they're feeling at the current time.
And we'll continue with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. Pirates Brewers today in Milwaukee on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back here at Miller Park. On the telephone line with us is Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. It's the Pirates and the Brewers with Chris Archer on the mound today against Chase Anderson. Neil, Chad Kuhl, do you expect him to pitch at all sometime this season? And what are the possibilities that if he does not, that he still is facing the chance that he would have to undergo Tommy John surgery? And if that is a possibility, each day that goes by means another day he won't pitch next year.
Well, at this point, all of the medical recommendations we've gotten have been to go through the conservative throwing progression, which he's doing. He'll begin to hopefully get off a slope somewhere at the end of this week, early next week. And the belief and the hope is that he will not need Tommy John surgery, that he'll be able to come back But time is our friend in terms of avoiding surgery, but time is our enemy in terms of having him pitch healthy this year. One of the interesting changes over the last 30 years in the game is we as an industry, due to whether it's player, agents, external, or club, we run to the MRI. And 30 years ago, when a player had a little bit of elbow soreness or a little bit of shoulder soreness, the first thing you did was rest. And depending upon the degree of soreness, was dependent upon the degree of rest. And after rest, you let the pitcher work his way back through a throwing progression. And a significant number of times, the pitcher came back healthy and was fine for weeks, months, years to come. When you go look for something in a thrower, in a pitcher, especially one that's in his late 20s or early 30s, tendencies are that you're going to find something. Sometimes you find something that is asymptomatic. Sometimes you find something that you weren't looking for, and then you get the question of, okay, what do you do there? So running to an MRI is not the best solution for medical issues, because sometimes surgery should be the last resort. Surgery should be the when you get to a point in time where there is no other option, that's when you opt for surgery. Surgery is not a proactive cure for arm injuries, because the reality is the arm will never be the same after surgery. Yes, there are hyperbole stories where guys come back significantly better. But for all young listeners out there, surgery is a last resort. Surgery is not what you want to go through, because it doesn't always make you better. And yes, guys are recovering, and yes, guys are coming back, but those are guys at the elite level. Those aren't 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, and really not even in their mid-20s. So in Chad's case, we are going by the guidance from the medical experts, multiple medical experts, that a conservative course of treatment. Let's see if we can get him back healthy. Let's see if the body will take care of itself. And if it doesn't, okay, then we need surgery. And we understand that there is an extended period of time missed because of Tommy John. But a Tommy John surgery that's done inappropriately to try to prevent something down the line may end up impacting in a negative way a player's career, even worse than waiting to see if the body will take care of itself on itself.
Neil, how much of that does the player decide? Because it seems to me there are loads of examples of players almost out of fear thinking, you know, there's some tear there, maybe not a complete tear, it's worn, I'm going to get it done now because it's going to tear eventually. But then there are also fewer examples. Masahiro Tanaka comes to mind. I think about 4 years ago, he was faced with the issue, and he decided he was going to rehab, and he's turned out fine.
It is ultimately always the player's decision, and all the medical experts are doing are providing recommendations, advice. All the teams are doing are providing recommendations and advice, and there are times we may provide stronger recommendations and stronger advice, and there are times where their advice will be surgery is your best course of action. And there are times where players will take that course of action. There are times when players will choose not to. There are times when the medical profession will indicate that surgery is an option and maybe likely down the road, and the player may choose to be proactive in that situation. But at the end of the day, this is always the player's decision. This is his career. This is his body. This is him having to go through whatever process he's going to have to go through, whether it's the surgery and the rehab and the risks that come with that, with the potential upside that comes with that, or non-surgical intervention with the rehabilitation and the risks that come with that and the upside that come with that. So it is always the player's ultimate decision.
And we'll finish things up with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. Pirates Brewers today in Milwaukee on the Pirates Baseball Network. Last few moments with our visit with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington as the Pirates and Brewers meet here in Milwaukee. Neil, rosters will expand Saturday. There's still a lot of movement going on with waiver claims and the like and trades. Do you anticipate moving any players off the roster in terms of trades between now and Saturday?
Well, we're going through the process, and if, as we've really done, I hope since day one here, if there's something that makes sense, we'll explore it. September 1st around the corner, you try to support in key areas, the catcher obviously is one. You try to add some pitching. You try to add some depth versatility off the bench. Indianapolis, obviously, in a playoff run, and those are great experiences for those players. So a lot of it's going to depend upon what we do this week, the numbers that we bring on September 1st versus after the Indy season. We want to give this team a chance, but unfortunately our tough August has made it harder for us to to pour in. And again, that's where the trades that we made on July 31st were intended to help this year's club, but they were also intended to help next year and future year clubs as well.
For that reason, one fan tweeted to us asking if the Pirates had any interest in Matt Adams. Of course, it's a local tie, but that would be more of a rental guy, and you really weren't looking for rental players, were you?
Well, and again, the challenge is a year ago, Josh Bell was one of the bright, young, up-and-coming offensive players in the game, and we've got to work hard to get Josh back to that point in time.
Neil, in terms of where the Pirates are on Saturday, you mentioned that there are teams that are fighting for playoffs, including Altoona. We're going to talk to Michael Ryan on our pregame show. But do you have an idea about what the number might be on Saturday when the rosters do expand?
Well, again, as we talked a little bit ago, you're always looking to add a catcher to allow your manager to pinch run or pinch hit or double switch for his catcher, which is harder to do when he only has two. You'd like to make sure you've got innings coverage and that you've got enough pitching, and then you'd like to add some versatility. And now, fortunately, with Frazier and Sean Rodriguez and a handful of other guys, David Freese being able to play multiple positions, we've got guys that can bounce around the field. Josh, Echevarria can play multiple positions. So we've got some depth and versatility. So Clint and I and our front office will continue to talk about where are the absolute additions and then where do we benefit as an organization from adding player X or Y to our Major League club.
We have just about a minute left, Neil. The other day, Stephen Brault pitched four relief innings, shutout frames, no-hit frames. Where do you see him? And again, it's just a minute left, but can he fill a role as a starter, or is it basically going to be a long man?
No, and that's where, with Archer, Tyone, Williams, Musgrove, Nova, Kingham, Cool, Brault, we like our starting options. That doesn't include Mitch Keller and Jonathan Brubaker or Epler or Waddell, guys that are coming behind. So as we've talked repeatedly, you need more than five starters that you feel really good about. Steven has the ability to pitch leverage innings out of the pen. He has the ability to pitch length out of the pen. He has the ability to start. And those guys are incredibly valuable to you. So as we look at our club going forward, we do like our starting depth. We like our bullpen depth. We like our depth that is projected to be in AAA next year and on the horizon, and those are questions that we'll answer as the offseason plays out, whether there are trades, whether there are internal solutions, whether there are external solutions, and we'll continue to massage this pitching staff, put it together to be the best one that we feel, and find a way back into October.
Neil, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you again next Sunday.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
The Neil Huntington Show coming your way, and our pregame show is next on the Pirates Baseball Network.